Hi, everybody. Did you have a good night's sleep? Are you ready to have some fun today? Let's stretch. Stretch our bodies and get ready for the big day. Come on, stand up. Put your chest out, girls, and put your arms back and stretch. That's it. Reach for the sky. Stretch. That's wonderful. I see Tommy and Nancy and Joey and Becky. I see Arnold and Fred and David and Schmecky. Is that right?
Step back, so our circle's a little bit bigger and you have some more room. Had enough, have you? Okay, Daniel. Just put it on the tray and then come and join us. Feet apart, everybody. Down to your toes we go. And look up into the sky. Maybe we'll see some clouds today. Was it raining at your house this morning?
No.
Let's see if we can chase the rain away then. Ready, please, Mr. Music. Stretch up. Good clouds over there, I think.
I see
the black ones over there.
I see the black ones.
Bend and stretch right up.
Come on.
Bend and stretch.
Yeah.
Reach for the stars. There goes Jupiter. Here comes Mars.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
They already have gotten weird.
Whatever.
All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the...
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. Yeah. How are my little basket of deplorables, huh? Oh, sorry. Like you're not. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. I'll admit it. I think it takes balls for me just to say that. Anything I do from this point on is a mere bag of shells. Did you see the full moon last night? I did. My neighbor left her curtains open and bent down to pick up her shoes. And wow, what a sight that was. Woo, baby. Only happens once a year. Because usually she will draw the drapes, and I can't see a damn thing. Hey, good to be with you today. Ron, that was a little weird, okay? I am just trying to make a joke. That's all. Lighten up. Come on. Neighbor always closes her drapes. I can't see anything. That or I got to clean my binoculars. Hey, what are we talking about now? What a stupid way to open up the show. But that's what I do. Welcome to the program. I've got a very important message for you toward the top of the show. I'm serious. I am so damn sick of being fished like a fish. I'm so damn sick of emails trying to get my information and my background and all this kind of stuff and getting phone calls from robots. I'm more popular now with robots than I am real people. I got robots calling me all the time. I don't know what it is about me. I'm attractive to robots for some reason. Robots are very familiar with, they don't even know my name. Hello, Ron. How are you today? Oh, my God. I'm being pursued by a robot. I never thought this would happen. And robots are actually trying to sell me things. Trying to sell me life insurance, postage stamps. Robots are calling me. I don't even like it when people call me, much less robots. Anyway, hi. So here's my problem. I get an email yesterday. I don't open up my emails, which I have to do. If I don't open up my emails on a daily basis, I usually get about 200 emails a day. I don't know how this happened, to be honest with you. I think if you ever buy anything online, you're screwed for life. Everybody will call you. They give your information to other companies, and they sell your information. They make money off of telling other companies what my name, phone number, and email is, how old I am, how many pairs of shoes I own, how many times I go to the bathroom at night, which actually is public knowledge. It's all disgusting. It's just disgusting. They know how much I weigh. I don't even know how much I weigh. They know. They know. So I get an email from CVS. It says in the header there, CVS, and I open up the email because I do go to CVS. I go to every pharmacy. That's where they have drugs. Seriously, come on. Of course I go there. Granted, they're over the counter, but they also have a pharmacy desk and some nice people in there, and I shop there. I shop at Walgreens, CVS, anything that has the word drugs in it. That's not true. That's a joke. It's not true at all. It wasn't even a joke. It wasn't even funny. So I open up the emails from CVS. I have a CVS card. Who doesn't? If you don't have a CVS card, you probably have a CVS card more than you have a driver's license or a Social Security card. I mean, everybody has a CVS card. I think when you're born, you get a CVS card. So I open it up. It's from CVS, and they say, please take this short survey. This is exactly what it says because I printed it out, and this is very important, actually. It says CVS wants to give you $50. Then it has a survey with a number after it from CVS Rewards Service. Receive a CVS award just for sharing your comments with us. Now, who wouldn't say to themselves, oh, CVS is doing a survey, and if I take the survey, because I was in their store recently, if I take the survey, I get a free $50 gift? Oh, sure, let's go, baby. And you click that start button, and it asks you personal information first. What is your name, your email? I think it asks for a phone number. It asks for your sex, to which I say not as often as when I was a kid. Now it's a little bit less, maybe once a week. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what you're asking me. Wait a minute. It's asking for information, and then it gives you like five simple questions. Did you visit a CVS store recently? Yes. Did you buy something? Yes. Thank you for participating in the survey. Now is a free gift. We are going to give you five items. You choose from one. We'll ship it to you for free. Thank you very much for taking the survey. I said to myself, and I looked at it, and it was skincare cream, wrinkle cream, you know. You put it on your face, and all the wrinkles go away magically. It's like, it's amazing. Or a free something and another free something. And I thought, well, you know, this is too easy. Something's wrong. So I went to the Google portion of my computer, which is prominent, and I Googled in the words CVS rewards scam with a question mark. Guess what comes up? CVS rewards scam, this thing that I'm talking about. It's got the CVS logo on this email that I got, so it looks like it's from CVS. I Google the thing about the CVS rewards scam, and it says, beware. CVS warns its customers that a company is posing as CVS and running a survey. This has nothing to do with CVS. We don't know what it is. We're trying to stop it. This is not CVS. We are not responsible for what you may get or may not get. Yes. It says, attention, this is what the Google thing says about this scam. CVS Health wants to alert you to an email scam that is fraudulently designed to appear as a CVS-branded email offer. The subject line of the emails contains wording similar to the following. Attention, your CVS Extra Care card will expire on March 30th, 2017, something like that. This email, and that's telling you to renew your CVS membership. Those things don't expire, ladies and gentlemen. And when you go to update the information, you're giving all the information into this email. That is not CVS. That is someone stealing your information. Then there's this rewards thing, the gift card that I talked about, where you get free stuff. That is also fraudulent. So tell your friends, tell your family that if CVS email is offering you a free $50 gift or wants to update your information, that is fraud. That is fraudulent. That is not CVS. It's somebody using CVS's logo in order to get personal information from you. I want to tell you something, that's the end of that. Beware. What this does on a regular basis, and what it's done to me, and I'll freely admit it, what it's done to me is it's made me not trust people anymore. It's made me second guess everything that I see. Anything that looks real could be fraudulent, could be coming after my personal information. It's turned me into a cynical schmuck.
Wait a minute, Ron. Let's stop the clock right now. Are you meaning to tell me that you previously were not a schmuck? That you were not a questioning everything that went on? That you were not, you believed everything?
No, you're right. You're right. Since I was born, I questioned things. I remember coming out of my mother's cavity, like extracting that bone package from the anus of a turkey, you know, on Thanksgiving. I felt like that someone was taking me out like that, and I remember the doctor slapped me, not in order to get me breathing, but just like couldn't believe what he was seeing. Slapped me, slapped the hell out of me. As a matter of fact, I pressed charges, and actually tried to take my head out with salad tongs. I thought, what do you think I am, a crouton? Seriously, man. And I just remember that I questioned the birth certificate. I remember saying to myself, all right, I see him signing the birth certificate because I've just been born. Is that real, though? Is that a real birth certificate? I'm questioning the authenticity of it. It's made me cynical through my entire life. So I'm set up for this. I believe very little of what I see. So I get that. But you're different. You probably went to church all your life, and you were brought up to believe that everything that everybody says is from the goodness of their heart. Nobody lies. Nobody deceives. Everybody's honest. Everybody wants to share the wealth and share the love. Basket of deplorables? No, I wouldn't call it that. I wouldn't call it that. I would say a basket of delusionals. The longer you live, here's a fact for most people, the longer you live, the more cynical you become. And that's because of experience and knowledge. You've come across these nasty little moments in life, and you're supposed to learn from them. Who was it? Barack Obama, who said, "Everything is a teachable moment." Barack, yeah, you're right. And I do believe you were born in this country. Otherwise, I don't believe you would have been president. I believe somebody did a background check on you. And I believe they figured that, yeah, we see the birth certificate. He was born in this country. He can be president. Contrary to the president that's there now, whom I don't believe could pass a simple spelling test, who cannot pass a simple grammar test, who couldn't pass a simple arithmetic test, who definitely couldn't pass a Rorschach blot test, nor any type of psychological testing whatsoever. But he was born in the United States, as a matter of fact, Queens, New York. And I lived in Queens, New York for quite a period of time in my life, and I'm embarrassed. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. I hope I've been able to help in some small way, Or perhaps I've been able to help in a gigantically wonderful way. I really don't know. And you know what? I really don't care. Everybody's good. Everybody's fine. Hey, what?
Let's be honest. You are socially awkward. You've no idea how to start a polite conversation. You wouldn't know what to do or say if you stumbled into one. And when it comes to talking with members of the opposite sex, you're like a sixth grade wallflower at the school dance. You need help, and you know it. You need me, Thompson St. Thomas, fancy bastard. For a courteous, prearranged fee, I am now offering wingman services for both men and women. Even if you've got the vocabulary range of a brain-damaged gibbon, with me at your side explaining to people what you rarely meant to say, every drool-drenched bit of drivel that slobs out of your scone hole will sound witty, erudite, and confident. And ladies, don't be shy. Take my arm and we'll go chat with the gent across the room with whom you've been exchanging glances all evening. Don't worry, he won't be intimidated by my extraordinary good looks. I guarantee he will only see me as your good British friend who happens to be incredibly gay. It's a service only I can provide, because I am Thompson St. Thomas, fancy bastard. So do let me know where we'll be going next, you and I.
Listening to The Big Show by Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
All right. We have an interesting guest coming up later in the program. I know you'll find it interesting because I told you it is. There was supposed to be a full moon last night, the moon rise. The moon doesn't rise, by the way. It appears to rise, but it doesn't rise. We're moving. The moon stays still. It does somewhat orbit the Earth, if one must argue that. But at such a slow pace, you would never see it, even if you blinked a few times. The moon does not rise. It is I that rises. It is I that am turning. The illusion that the moon is rising and the sun rises is absurd. It is absurd. Again, delusional. I believe Donald Trump believes that all these things rise, and that's why he's who he is. And is the leader of the free world. Well, free so far. Nothing's free anymore. Everything costs money. Everything costs money. Everything. Anyway, so the moon was supposed to rise, and I was all excited about this. I was going to get in my car and drive to a nearby hill where I could see the eastern horizon where the moon was supposed to magically rise by hydraulics, I assume. But it was going to be the full moon, the what they call the harvest moon, I believe, although there's nothing to harvest right now. I don't really understand that. But the moon was to rise, and it was to be huge in size and orangey-red in color and just a sight to behold, a feast for the eyes. I get in my car. It's dark outside. It gets dark here where I live at about 1:30 in the afternoon. I don't know why. It just seems, maybe, I don't know. I think the amount of sunlight there is in the course of a day right now at this time of year where I live is about 63 minutes. I feel like I'm living somewhere in Alaska, the land of the midnight sun, which makes no sense because there is no midnight sun. Perhaps there is. Perhaps I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so I bundle up because it's cold and I get in my car and I drive to this hill and I get to the top of the hill and lo and behold, it's freaking cloudy and I can't see the sky at all. And I didn't know that because it was dark outside. How are you going to know if it's
if you can see the stars and the moon if you don't look up. I never thought of doing that. I had no reason to look up until I got to the hill. And then, so, oh my God. So, like, what can I do up here now on the hill? I drove all the way here, like 15 minutes to get to the top of this hill. And now I can't see the moon supposedly rise by hydraulics. So I got in my car and I went home and I had ice cream. And I'm telling you, I had a ball last night. It was fantastic. On television last night. See, here's how I know something is wrong with me. And you're probably saying, Ron, you didn't know this? This is the first time you're realizing that? No, you know, I know. I didn't think there was anything really wrong with me. I'm watching television last night. You remember Carol Burnett? Some of you don't even know who she is. If you're like, you know, 20 years old, you probably have no idea who she is. She was this comedian, and she had a cast of characters, and they did a variety show, and they did a lot of skits, and it was funny. It was, you know, here and there is very, very, very funny. She did a 2-hour special last night, which had some celebrities on and reminiscing and showing some of those moments, and it was really, really hokey. All the conversations that they had with these guest stars and these reminiscent things, they're all scripted. It was like they were reading a script, yet they were making believe it was all impromptu, sitting around talking. It sounded anything but. It was deceitful. Again, I recognize deceit very easily now. I'm good at that. I should work for the FBI. I recognize deceit. And by the way, speaking of the FBI, the president, I can't remember his name, actually said that the FBI is a mess. It's falling apart, but he'll fix it. It's disgusting. Oh my God. The FBI is the most efficient, smart, intelligent agency on the globe, not just in this country, in the world. Every day of our lives, the FBI is a huge group of people that put their lives on the line, dedicate their lives to their job and the protection of safety in this country and security. I mean, how dare the president malign it just because it's investigating into his perhaps crimes and misdemeanors, which I assume is the case. That's my assumption. So anytime the president feels like he's being attacked, he lashes out and he tries to put the other side down and embarrass them and disassemble them. That's what he does. He did it again yesterday in a tweet. And he said the FBI is a mess and it's horrible and it's embarrassing and it has to be fixed. Every day the FBI thwarts terrorist attacks, follows the people that could be a threat to this country. I think it was the last President Bush that said that evil and the terrorists are our greatest enemy, and it's absolutely true. They only have to be right in order to attack us terroristically. They only have to be right once to create devastation. We and the FBI have to be right all the time. What a great comment that came from a Bush. An intelligent comment like it actually came from a Bush. And by the way, George Bush, I now respect him in comparison. Never thought I'd say that, but I do. Damn you, President Trump, for just saying that for your own personal psychological kind of crap. Don't ever attack the FBI, man. Your ass is in their hands. Don't ever do that again. Piss me off like that. I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, man. This is what happens. I go off on tangents. I mean, I could rewind and see what I was talking about, but that wouldn't be honest. That would just be ridiculous. So, never mind. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You know, it is the holidays. And when the holidays come up, all these restaurants have these specials. They have special menus. One of my favorite restaurants is doing just that.
Hi, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. but I recently hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's favorite new Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots, right, Headshots. This time of year, everyone is getting ready for their holiday parties. What better way to celebrate Arbor Day?
Christmas, Bobby.
Christmas, right. Celebrate Flag Day.
Christmas.
With a feast from Headshots. We'll deliver food that will not only knock you out, but will be the highlight of your Memorial Day
Christmas, Bobby.
Christmas table. Or perhaps you celebrate St. Swithin's Day.
That one would be Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. Why not try our 8 days of manicotti menorah? We've got the left-right stuff to make every party a success, whether it's Bastille Day,
Christmas,
Victory over Japan Day,
Hanukkah,
or Kwanzaa Mananaka.
Okay, we're just gonna let that one go.
Make sure your holiday event is a technical knockout with a great spread from Christmas.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Headshots. I had that.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Elena. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing today?
I'm not so bad, really.
Nice.
Elena Brower is a renowned author of the new best-selling journal Practice You, teacher, and she's a speaker. She's speaking to us now about something that I need very badly, and that's some stress relief, because it's a stressful time of year. Actually, it has been all year for me. But nonetheless, I'm looking for some direction here as to how can we relieve stress, which can be very damaging.
We, especially at this time of the year, as you said, we are being exposed to a lot of different stimuli. We're asked to rush and get this and do that and be with these people and do this and run there.
Yeah.
One of those moments of the day, we actually can start to practice slowing down for ourselves, connecting to ourselves. And the best way to do that is via the breathing, always.
Even people with anxiety, I know that this actually helps them, meditation and yoga and stress relief.
For sure. When we take the time to move just a little bit, all the tension that builds up in certain parts of our bodies actually has the chance to dissipate and move around. And then after we move a little bit, stretch it out, move it around, strengthen a little bit, which is really the crux and the purpose of yoga, we can start to then listen to our breathing and extend our breathing, which actually helps to still the mind.
So yoga would be the physical stress relief and meditation would be the mental stress relief?
Precisely.
I see. And they work hand in hand, I assume.
They work best hand in hand. The yoga is really how we deal with all the stress that's built up in the tissues and the muscles. And then the meditation is how we deal with all the mind stuff.
Okay. Now, I would be considered a beginner, even though my generation was raised with meditation. I was never able to do it. Yoga concerns me a bit because I see in pictures and in videos having to do all physical kind of pretzel maneuvers, and I don't think I can do that anymore.
No, I wouldn't even try. What I usually instruct people to do is actually just try in your chair. You can right now grab the bottom of your chair where you're sitting and arch your back forward and just sort of open your chest a little bit, take a nice big deep breath in, and then exhale and round your spine.
Okay.
And then inhale and open it, and then exhale and round it again. You'll immediately start to feel a difference in the way that you're breathing and the way that you're holding yourself. Your spine gets a little longer, a little bit of stress and tension get released from your body.
Okay. Meditation-wise, here's my problem. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here, by the way. my problem is that my mind's always going, and that's the stress thing going on. So for me to slow down my mind and put everything out of it is very difficult, yet that's the goal, though.
I would actually prefer that you do what my teachers have taught me, which is don't try and put everything out of your mind.
Okay.
Just start to train your attention onto your breathing.
Right.
So instead of changing something that's happening, which you don't want to do. Your mind is a very potent mechanism.
Yes.
Just start to listen to your breathing. Your breathing will actually become more charming than the thoughts that are happening in your mind. And that's how meditation really begins to take hold.
That wouldn't be hard. Everything's more charming than what may be going on in my mind. So,
All right.
Okay, I'm exaggerating, but still, I think a lot of people are in that boat. I've read a lot and heard a lot about essential oils and fragrances that actually help in that direction.
Yes. The way that we can get the closest to nature, especially if we live in cities, is through the essences of the plants. They're incredibly calming and grounding, and they bring feelings of wellness and stability emotionally. And so I use them all the time on my family and on myself to bring me back to center.
Now, are the oils used in a fixture, or are they aroma smells from heated? What's the most effective way of doing that?
Oils are used really three different ways: aromatically, right, topically, or internally. Okay. And I prefer to just focus on the aromatic and the topical.
Yeah.
Aromatically, you can use them in a diffuser. You could literally just have a bottle of oil and bring it up to your nose and take a nice deep breath in, and you're already bringing a feeling of a clearer mind and better breathing. Topically, certain oils are already diluted with fractionated coconut oil, particularly with the oils that I use from doTERRA. And you can put those right on your hands, cup your hands over your nose, take a nice deep breath in, and you feel the same way that you feel when you're walking through the forest and you get that calming sensation being around all the trees.
Okay.
For moments at a time, you get that.
So that helps you put you in a different place mentally.
Absolutely, yes.
Image-wise.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, what oils, I guess it's a question of preference, but what oils, fragrances tend to relax popularly?
The ones that are based with woods or flowers tend to be much more relaxing. We're thinking of things like lavender, frankincense, spruce leaf, which is in a blend that I love called Balance. I use it on my son, who's 11, every morning.
Yep.
Rub it on his feet. Lavender is just incredible for calming. Serenity is a blend that I use from doTERRA also that has cedarwood along with lavender and even Roman chamomile, which is very calming and relaxing too.
Yeah, I've heard chamomile. That's like tea and stuff. They're supposed to drink that, go to bed and stuff.
It's a flower, yeah.
Yeah. Are some oils better than others? I mean, some may be cheap and some may be actually more pure.
You want to find an oil that comes from a very reliable source, therapeutic grade, grown ethically, distilled, and made sure that you don't have any sort of fillers or pesticides or fungicides or herbicides. You don't know what you're getting if you're just buying it at the shop. And so it's important to make sure that you have quality.
That's what I was concerned about, because sometimes these things can be perhaps harmful by what you're inhaling and smelling, but in other cases, very, very good for you.
Correct.
Okay.
As with everything, really.
Well, that's absolutely true. Actually, it is.
Yeah.
When you go to a pharmacy
yeah.
and you see all the vitamins and all the supplements, some of them are not properly controlled or may even be harmful. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm excited about that. And do you put a certain amount of time aside each day for this?
I do. And the first thing in the morning, I just go ahead and fill up my diffuser. I put a couple drops of oil in. I do a little practice, a movement practice, and then I sit for 15, 20 minutes, sometimes longer. And it really helps to get me centered. You know, I have a young son and I have a few businesses, and it makes all the difference to have that time in the morning before I get started.
Okay. What about at bed at night? Would it be smart to do a diffuser in your room as you're sleeping, or that's too much stimulation?
No, absolutely. There are certain oils, as we said, that are really relaxing and really calming and will bring really support your sleep and your restfulness.
Okay. Well, I've learned a lot today, and that's pretty good. Question is, where do I go to get these oils, you know, ones that are really good?
The company that I prefer is doTERRA, and you can look at those on doTERRA.com. And you can look around on their website, because there's also information on how they take care of the planet and how they take care of their growers, farmers. a wonderful website, wonderful, wonderful company.
Great. And I'll spell that for the audience here, DOTERRA, doTERRA.com. Great. Yes. Thank you for your time today, Elena. That's pretty good stuff. And have a great holiday.
And you, Ron. Thank you so much.
I should say a stress-free holiday.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. I feel a little less stressful. I got to apologize almost. At the beginning of the show, I just was like angry. I remember what I was talking about toward the beginning of the program, the Carol Burnett Show. They were reminiscing and it was all scripted and it was really, I found it entertaining. But the problem was it was 2 hours long. It was on from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock on CBS. You know what I started to realize? Things shouldn't be 2 hours long anymore. Maybe if you're at a party or something and, you know, different things happen. But to sit down and watch a show for 2 hours, a television show with commercials, come on. Man, you could have done that show in 1 hour and it still would have been too long. And what I'm just saying is, I guess in a movie, even movies are too long. 2 hours for a movie? Seriously, then we have to have the gratuitous sex scene. Somebody has to hook up and have a scene in bed or in a closet or something. There's going to be sex involved and someone has to be beat up. There has to be a fight somewhere in the movie and there has to be like 20 minutes of empty nothing going on in order to fill 2 hours to make it seem like it was worthwhile for you to pay the money for the movie ticket to go into the theater and, you know, to drive there and all that. It's got to be at least 2 hours long. Let me tell you something. It doesn't have to be. Let's start shortening this stuff up. Let's tighten this stuff up a little bit. Let's edit this stuff up and make it a bit more. Let's flow a little bit better here. Let's get it going, huh? That's my message to you. No one listens to me anyway. Doesn't really matter. Well, time has waned. Wayne told me that we're out of time. We'll be back again tomorrow with another show. How you doing, by the way? You doing all right? Okay. Until then, I wish you peace. Come on, everybody, sing along. Come on, sing.